what you want.
And when I made that
2 weeks ago tomorrow, five of her teeth are damaged, and one is gone, I guess, and some facial damage as well there that we want to just pray for Heidi and Brad at this time. There is a card going around after church. You'll have time to sign if you haven't, and Marcia has that to contact her if you need to sign still. Then we want to pray for my dear, who is the friend of Masa's that is with Masa. She had surgery this week and is home recovering cancer surgery. We want to be lifting her up in prayer. Yeah. Then the neighbor to Donna and Kathleen passed away, I believe, Thursday night. And unexpectedly, Thursday morning. And good friend, good neighbor. And I know they're sorry to lose him. And his name is Larry. So you'll want to keep those names in your mind in prayer. I was tempted to say, pull out your cell phones and send a note to someone you want to encourage. Yeah. Let's not do that now, but don't do it when I'm preaching, but after church, maybe you can do it then. Let's prepare for prayer as the guys lead us, and just open our hearts to the Lord in these requests and others I know that you have in your family.
To give our freedom, I
grateful today that a surrender to you means victory. Victory in our lives, where we gain everything when we surrender all to you. And yet we have to be convinced over and over again that surrender is really victory when we give you everything, give you power and give you control. And Father, we would even confess that at times we get restless and frustrated and nervous with what we have entrusted to you. We wonder when the end is, or when the pain stops, or when the grief ends, or when we get through, or when the clouds part, and when the need is met, and we have all these questions and concerns. And so, Lord, this morning we just wrap them up in a bag and we give it to you, and we say, we surrender it all. We don't demand answers, we don't demand rights, we don't demand our way. Give it all to you. We put it in your hands and we trust you. Though we know that at some point we'll take some things back, or we'll worry again, or we'll fret again, or we'll be concerned again, and it'll come back to us perhaps, but Lord, we want to give it to you this morning and allow you to lead and allow you to guide. What we need to do, you will show us, and where we need to go, you will send us, and what we will need, you will give us, and we trust you. We pray for the neighbor to Kathleen and Donna, the loss and passing of Larry and his wife and daughter, very deeply grieving today, no doubt. We pray for my dear and Masa as they together go through the cancer that my dear has, and we pray that the surgery will have eliminated it.
Yes.
We just ask you for healing on her behalf. We pray for Heidi and Brad today, and we pray for recovery and for what the dentists and doctors are able to do, and we just ask, Lord, you'd be very close to them in a very special way. Lord, we thank you that the concerns that we have in our lives, like thinking of world peace in the Ukraine and Russian war, and think about Christians being attacked in many places in our world, and we think about the world economy as prices rise and people struggle to pay and to keep up. Father, we just ask that in the midst of all the turmoil, all the strife, that there could be this peace in our hearts that surpasses understanding, a serenity to know that we can trust you. It's not that we turn our eyes and close our eyes from reality, and it's not that we walk away from difficulty, but it's that we walk through it with the power of the one who calls us and who sustains us. We rest on the everlasting arms.
Yes.
To know the hope, to know the healing, to know the resourcing that we need. We look to you, we ask you, Lord, to give us the peace that you have for us. In these moments, could you just open your hands and in an open-handed gesture to God, give him what it is that troubles you the most, or what it is that has been weighing heavily on your heart. Just say, Lord, I give it to you, and I trust you. In exchange, I receive your peace. I receive the promise of your presence. I receive the promise of eternal life. I receive the gift of heaven that I know is waiting out there beyond me today. Lord, we do lift up these needs, and we thank you that you are master and Lord over all. You are the creator and sustainer of all creation, your word tells us. And so we look to you and we ask for you to guide us. Speak to us through your word here in a couple of moments and teach us what you want us to learn, and refresh and renew within us a clear vision, a clear sight of what your word says and the promises you make. May we have the honesty to be truthful with ourselves and willing to change and willing to grow and willing to be all that you have called us to be. By the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work within us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to be looking at Luke chapter 12 in a few moments, and you can look ahead and listen at the same time, because you were a child once and you have children, and you know that to have to do two things at once. And all kinds of greed. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but this last year, it seems like our newspapers and the news cycles have focused on these multi-billionaires in our world. Have you been following some of those names? I'm not going to say any names, but you know, they have more money than any one person or even most countries in the world in some cases have, and it's amazing what they do with all that money. And our news cycles, I think it's because we all are just a little bit greedy, let's be honest. We want to read about their stories, right? And if you're really not healthy, then you like it when they suffer, or you like it when they lose, you know, and that's really a twisted part of us, but it's there. It's that greed thing. The greed thing gets a hold of us. And, you know, it's always, I've said it before, but it's always that the marketing systems of our world want us to be discontent with what we have. Every year there's a newer, better, nicer, and yours isn't as new, and this isn't as nice, and it isn't as better. And so you begin to resent what you last year paid for and want one of those that this year came out. And that's that little greed thing getting into life again, isn't it? And greed is really hard to determine in ourselves. I mean, we can all kind of cover it with saying, well, you know, I use it for my work, or I can write it off on my taxes, or, well, I just wanted a nicer, newer, better one, and so it's okay. And I'm not here against any of those kinds of things. I was telling my students in class that I love Apple products. I'm kind of an Apple fanatic. And as I looked around the table, I literally had about six different products made by the Apple company. So I'm, you know, right there at the head of the list of people who want newer, better. And that's one of my foibles, too. But I want you to see something this morning as we look at this parable that Jesus tells. And what I want you to see is missing the point. Missing the point. You ever miss the point? You know, someone tells a joke, everyone laughs, and so you politely laugh along, but you're going, I don't get it. It's not that funny, or I missed the point, right? Yeah. You go to a lecture or a meeting, you know, and everybody comes out all excited with how this new product or this new idea, this new marketing or this new way, and you're going, no, I don't get it. I kind of missed the point. Yeah. I'm not going to give it away right now, so you got to hang on. I'll be talking to you about missing a point in a few minutes. But this man comes to Jesus, and here's something really interesting I didn't know till this week, and I kind of suspected it, but I found it. You know, it's on the internet, so it's got to be right. I know it's true. It's on the internet. I read it. That over 30% of families, so in other words, if we've got 10 families represented in here, at least three of those families have issues with inheritance. 30% of American families are unhappy or disgruntled or upset or even in lawsuits and divisions and contentions over inheritance. I've shared with you before that when my father passed away, I got $1,000. My mother's family had been deeply, deeply, deeply involved in a huge inheritance squabble. Went on for years. It was dividing the family, and my mother was really the only one that could talk to both sides, and yet she got involved in it, not because of anything she did, but because of the hostility from her sister. And so when I got that $1,000, I, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, I, I sent $333 to my sister and my brother, and I said, if you want the 33 cents, you'll have to come collect it from me in person. My brother was in Brazil, my sister was in Kansas, and I was in Oklahoma, so it wasn't like they were going to show up the next day. But we get upset over who's going to get it. How much are you going to get? Did they get more? Well, how much is that house worth? I think they cheated. I think they shouldn't have gotten away with that. I see all kinds of recognition going on. People you know who have sat right in the middle of those squabbles. Luke 12, 13. That's where we're going to start. I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version, so it's a little bit different than the NIV. Someone in the crowd spoke to Jesus. Teacher, he said, tell my brother to divide the family property with me. I didn't get my share, is what he's saying. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge or an umpire between you? Then he said to them, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Wanting to have more and more things. Life is not made up of how much a person has. Then Jesus told them a story. He said, a certain rich man's land produced a very large crop. He thought to himself, what should I do? I don't have any place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'll store my extra grain in them. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain stored away for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and have a good time. But God said to him, you foolish man, tonight I will take your life away from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? That is how it will be for whoever stores things away for themselves, but is not rich in the sight of God. So there's a lot here that we can unpack together and look at and work through as we look at this passage. And money, wealth, and inheritance are some of the touchiest topics in the English language, right? Jesus gets right into the middle of this situation when this man comes to him and says, tell my brother to be fair in the division. And I can imagine everybody in the audience listening starts to squirm because, you know, here he brought up a very sensitive topic. I mean, you don't go to lunch with all your friends and start talking about your family's inheritance, do you? If you do, you're going to lose friends, let me tell you. And if you don't lose friends, you're not going to have lunchmates the next day. They're going to go somewhere else to eat and leave you alone. Because that money issue is a touchy, touchy issue. And what's interesting about an inheritance is you didn't earn it. Your parents did. Someone else did, and you want to get it. And not only do you want to get it, you want to get more. You know, you measure who got more. You measure who got how much. Money, wealth, and inheritance are touchy subjects. And Jesus cuts right to the core and he says it's greed. It's greed. It's that appetite that you always want more. You always want something you don't have. It's that sense of discomfort, displeasure, discontent with where you are. And the only tent you ought to be in is not the discontent, it's in the agreement tent with Christ, the contentment in your life. I wonder how many of us would say, you know, that greed thing's got me twisted up, it's got me pulled apart, it's got me nervous at night or not sleeping and worrying and thinking and struggling with how much and when and how I'm going to get it. And it just has divided me and maybe even divided your family. Like I said, over 30% of families deal with conflict over money. Why? Because they want to get what is mine. I deserve it. They owe it to me. Or I need more. Or I didn't get enough. Or I don't have and I want. And that little worm of greed just begins to turn and begins to grit you and get a hold of you and eat at your spirit because you didn't get what you want or what you think you deserve or you don't have as much as someone else has. Greed. Jesus says, watch out. And it's interesting to me, he says, watch out and be on your guard against what? What's the next word? All kinds of greed. I thought there was only one kind of greed. I thought it was just wanting more, but he's saying all kinds of greed. You can be greedy about a lot of things. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to confess this or not. I think I've gotten better. Let me say it that way. I used to be more greedy about food than I am now. How's that? And
keep going.
Have you dug in this deep?
It's out there now.
Yeah, I used to be really, preoccupied with food. My mother's favorite verse for me was, these people whose God is their belly. Yeah, I think that's in James. And greed. Greed can come in many forms. Greed can is so subtle and it's so invasive that we have to fight it off at all kinds of turns in life. Because it's always an option. It's always out there. It's lurking, waiting for us to give in or waiting for us to go along or helping us to want more. Want better, want nicer, want newer, want other than what we have. And here's the problem. It's dissatisfaction with what God has given us. It's living in a land of abundance. I looked it up. Did you know Maryland? I shouldn't have said it that way because that gave it away. Did you know Maryland is the highest per capita income state in the United States?
Yep.
That's us. Yeah. Now, we all know we're the poorest ones in Maryland, but but it is. That's shocking, isn't it? It's shocking to me. And I looked up the zip codes right around our church. You don't want to know the number. It'll just make you upset. It's amazing. It's shocking. And yet, I bet if we did a poll of the zip codes around us, we'd find just as many upset, discontent, greedy people as you'd find anywhere else in the world. Greed is subtle. It reaches into our lives, and Jesus says, watch out. Watch out. Look out. Don't get greedy. Life does not consist in the size of your U-Haul. Did you know Jesus said that? It's not in the abundance of your possessions. It's not in the volume. It's not in the quantity. It's not in how big and how many and how new and how nice. That's not where life is. Isn't that interesting? Life doesn't consist in the possessions. How many times have you gotten what you thought you always wanted only to discover it's not that great? It really didn't do all you thought it was going to do for you. Right? Yeah. My mind is reeling with things I thought I had to have, things I thought would solve everything, things I just knew would be the greatest, latest, and best, and fix all kinds of things. And then I go, didn't work. Not there. Because we're missing the point. We're missing the point. Why do I say that? And this is why I say that. Because you see, in the Bible, the word sin, one of the words is hamartia, means missing the mark. And so we miss the mark. We miss the point. Jesus is telling the man here, you've missed the point. You're wanting me to settle a judgment between you and your brother. That's interesting. Jesus refuses to do that. That's good counsel for counselors, and that's good wisdom for pastors. Don't get in the middle of people's inheritance fights. You know, and that happens. I mean, they want you to come in the middle, and then they can both be upset with you. So if you've got it going on in your family, just learn to turn the other way and let them squabble it out on their own. But sin is missing the target. And Jesus is telling this guy right here, he says, you're missing the point. because life doesn't consist in the amount of your possessions. And he's saying to him, in essence, it's sin. You've put value in the wrong place and missed it. Now, there's two ways to miss a target. The first one is to not know what the target is, and so you just shoot an arrow and hope it hits, right? I shot an arrow into the air, it fell to ground, I know not where. Did anybody else have to memorize that in school like I did? Yeah, most of us, yeah, okay. I don't remember the rest of it, but I remember that much. So not knowing the target, and that's this guy's problem. He thinks the target is more, better, an inheritance. Jesus is saying you're missing it. It's not there. Now the second way you miss the target is you're aiming, but you don't hit the bullseye. And so sin is missing the mark, missing the point, whether it's intentional, whether it's you're shooting and don't even know what the target is, but you're missing it. You're missing it. And so we get into this problem of missing the point and missing the target or aiming in the wrong way and aiming but missing. And greed is wanting what you don't have and planning ways to get it and finding out life is not in the getting of whatever it is. You can be greedy about love and affection. Be upset that a child loves the other parent more. Be upset that the grandchild loves grandma more than loves grandpa. I'm not testifying, I'm just saying. We had fun last night, little guy waved at us, but he was more interested in the scrambled eggs mom was making than he wasn't looking at us on the iPad, so we just let him get his supper, you know. All he had on was a diaper. It was really hot in Seattle. Crazy little guy. Jesus tells a parable, tells a story. And the story he tells is about a man who has a harvest bigger than he thought he would have. So much grain that he didn't know what to do with it. I've told you many times that the first congregation I pastored, they were all wheat farmers. There might have been two families out of 20 families that didn't actually have at least 1,500 acres of wheat that they were farming. One of the families had something in the neighborhood between 15 and 20,000 acres they would harvest. But one of the men told me a story. He said, my dad came here and he decided to plant corn. Everyone else had wheat. He planted corn and he did so well. He got such an abundant harvest that for the next 3 years, he planted corn and had a disaster and said went broke because of the 1 year that went well. Jesus is telling really that kind of story right here. The guy planted and did better than he expected, but look what's left out. He didn't recognize who gave him the harvest. He didn't recognize it was God. He didn't recognize that he needed to look beyond himself. And so there's a very interesting three verses here, 17 to 20, 17 to 19, two verses. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy and move to Florida. So that's what he was ready to do. And it's shocking. It's shocking when you see how many times he thinks only of himself. Jesus is making a point, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's saying you're so self-absorbed, you're so self-wrapped up, you've got it all figured out for yourself that you've left everything else out. There isn't any room for family. No mention of family. No mention of friends. It's a lonely life when you get this greedy. I told you about the farmers. I told you about one that had 20,000 acres in production of wheat. The loneliest, most isolated person in my congregation. Saddest. Couldn't get along with anybody. Could have bought and sold a whole room full of people, but had a miserable isolated, selfish life. Came to know Jesus on his deathbed. Thank God. Thank God for that. But he left out family, he left out friends, he left out others, he left out the needy around him that were hungry. And worst of all, no recognition of God. Who gave him the harvest? God. He wasn't a better farmer. He didn't do more than others. He just got the results. He elbowed every person, everything else out of his life except the money, the grain. Tragic. Tragic. Jesus says he missed the purpose of his life. He sinned in that ultimate sin sense. He missed the target. He missed what life was all about. Totally lost. Look at this verse from Timothy. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's worth reading again. In fact, we all ought to read it out loud. Let's read it out loud. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Ruin and destruction. That's what Jesus is talking about. This guy, what does it say? When he had decided he was going to retire, he was going to enjoy his wealth, tear down his barns, build bigger ones. What did he say? This very night your soul is required of you. And he lost it all. Left it as an inheritance. Greed creeps up on us. It knows no limits. Once you start down that pathway, it's that diminishing returns thing. At first it feels really good and you feel really bountiful and you got a lot and you feel happy and proud with it. But when the new wears off, it's miserable. And you got to have the newer. You got to have the better. You got to have more. You got to have the other. This one's not as good as. This one didn't last as long as. This one didn't satisfy like I thought it would. Maybe it's the next one. That's the problem with greed. Greed never gets full and satisfied. Greed is always eating away at you for more. It's always comparing, saying, you know, but mine isn't as nice as, mine isn't as new as, mine isn't as good as. Tragic things happen because of greed. One of them is we elbow out of our lives that which is important. Getting close to God, having family and friends, taking care of the poor, the needy, and the hungry around us. Making account for our lives so that we go into God's presence when we die. That's what counts. That's what counts. He didn't have his eyes on eternity. He didn't have his eyes on God. He didn't have his eyes on others. He had his eyes only on himself because of his greed. God help us. God forgive us. Problem with greed is it's never enough. Whatever we have is never enough. We always want more. Creates a thirst, creates a hunger that can never be satisfied because it's missing the point. Jesus gives us the point right at the top. He says, life is not found in the abundance of things. Let's pray. Father, we look at this parable and we see ourselves so horrifically reproduced. We see the life that is always around us of temptation to be greedy, of temptation to think that what we have is not enough and always to try to get more. Our heart breaks with the loneliness that this man faced in this parable. We know it's just a story Jesus made up, but it fits life so well, Lord. And it just leaves us scared that we would be wanting more and seeking more and looking for more and elbow out of our lives family and friends and God and the needy that are around us. Lord, this morning as I'm speaking, you're talking to hearts, and maybe in our heart we've recognized that shadow of greed that's come over us. Maybe we begin to see the symptoms, oh God, of dissatisfaction, that always wanting what we don't have. Lord, this can take so many forms, and Jesus is so wise in telling us to watch out for all forms of greed. Show it to us, Lord. Open our eyes. Help us to turn around before it's too late. Help us to reinvest our lives in that which is life, Christ and Christ alone. Christ and his love and power in our lives, Christ and the family he's given us, and Christ and the friends that we can have through Christ in the church and in our world, and the serving of Christ and the lifting up of the Lord in our lives that brings to us fulfillment and joy that nothing else can bring. Forgive us for wasting our time and wasting your money on that which does not satisfy. Raise up in our midst, O God, those who would be generous with others, those who would be filled with generosity instead of greed. Help us to begin today. Help us to begin even now to turn around that appetite that is always there, that's always wanting more, and to kill it so that your spirit can grow in us. Obedience can become a greater part of us. Don't let us escape. Don't let our attention stray from the careful nurture of our stewardship, the life you have given to us. God is talking to your heart this morning. If this is an area where you need help, I want to encourage you to come to one of us that can guide you and lead you in God's word and can encourage you to find a better path and give you some habits that would help. Don't let the day pass. Don't let the moment pass. Because this man came to the end much sooner than he thought he would, and so will each one of us. Jesus says that very night his soul was required of him, and it was over. No man knows the day or the hour that they will die, but God knows. And as finite as our time is, we have to take advantage of the moment and not resist, not be stubborn, not push away what God wants to say and God wants to do in your life. Today is the day. This is the hour of salvation, Jesus said. Don't resist him. Thank you, Father, for these great people. They listen so attentively. Their hearts are so good, Lord. I pray that wherever we find the root of bitterness and root of greed, we'd weed it out and we'd clean up our lives and we'd see a harvest for Christ that we've never seen before. We'd see a productivity in our spirits of caring and sharing and loving our families and loving others and loving the lost and the least like we never have before. Guide us in that, I pray today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for out of the abundance of our lives, we are able to give. We're able to give generously to others. Thank you for the now over $700 that we're giving to the women's clinic in Rockville. because of the generosity of our people. We just praise you for that today. May we continue to be that kind of generous church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give.
Yeah.
Unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you go.